this game.
Kobe Bryant off balance. Yeah. And Shaquille O'Neal is there. Bryant, touchdown FAU.
And Fulham are surely heading back to the Premier League.
The Denver Nuggets stand on top of the NBA world.
The Philadelphia Eagles.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome into another edition of Cheers from the Press Box. I am your host, Brendan Tassif, coming to you, as always, from New York City, joined by my fabulous co-host, Mr. Joe Dorville. What is going on, man?
What's going on, buddy? How you feeling? How you doing?
I'm good. Just got off of a rough night at work, super busy. Joe is about to go to the gym, so we only have a few things to talk about, but if you are new to this program, we're going to start the same way we always do with all the major headlines and the major sports. Obviously, we saved the Super Bowl to talk about this week. And there was a little bit of movement in the NBA. I don't know if you guys heard. There's a couple of things that happened in the NBA we'll get to. And then we will get to our quick hits quick, where we will talk about some of the potential. We're going to touch back on the NFL with some of the offseason stuff that's already happening with some teams. WNBA had a few big trades even after the last trade we were talking about. We'll get you caught up on the NHL. And then, of course, the Fulham corner. Of course, our boys with a big dub this week. And then we'll do the press conference and get on out of here, baby. So, Joe, let's start this week the same way we do every week. Joe!
Ready to return the opening kickoff.
Perfect way to kick off.
Here we go.
All right. Because I think Joe is going to have a lot to say about our first topic, the Super Bowl. His birds are in it. Go, birds. Facing the Kansas City Chiefs in New Orleans. Joe, I will let you have the floor because I only have a couple things I want to say about this.
Okay. Well, I think the Eagles will win this game. I don't think anyone's shocked to hear me say that as a fan of the team. But I think now this is where people are going to start to, you know, 5150 me, potentially want to send me into a mental institute. But follow the logic. I think the Eagles win decisively. I think the Eagles win by two scores. I think the Eagles will have the lead close at halftime, and the Eagles will pull away after the half. This is going to look like when Kansas City played Tampa Bay. The Eagles have a dominant defense. They have a front four that won't over-pursuit and can keep Patrick Mahomes contained. They have the linebackers that I've been asking for years that can either play the lane or stick with a tight end, somebody who's a little, obviously, past his prime, but a little also over the hill, who can turn back the clock every now and again. But I think if you're sticky enough to stick with him, I think that can get done. They have a trio, four receivers or so, where none of them are game breakers. They're good to middling. And I think the Eagles' DBs will be able to stay with them. And then as far as the safety talent, Reed and Chauncey are two of the best as far as the tandem is concerned. They can also cover, and they can also stick with the tight end. And they're also big hit playmakers. I think the turnover battle will go to the Eagles in this entire postseason. The Eagles haven't coughed up. Did he have a fumble? I think we have yet to have a turnover, if I'm not mistaken. But Kansas City had one fumble last week, or 2 weeks ago now, where Patrick Mahomes coughed it up. And this is the thing that I think, this is why I am running with this prediction, right? The Chiefs. You would think the Chiefs, who've been here several times at this point, you would think they would be the team that has a little more composure, a little more, we've been there, done that. But in each of their championships, they've been down at the half. And the problem is the other team usually makes no turnovers. The problem is the opposing team, the Eagles and the 49ers, usually have made one costly mistake. The 49ers on their first opening drive, they had a fumble that could have led to a touchdown, which would have put them up by more going into the half. The Eagles in the first half, Jalen Hurts had the fumble that led to, I want to say it was a scoop and score, or at least a score very thereafter, which, and the Eagles were up at the half, but they could have been up by more at the half. Imagine if that game was 28-7 or 28-10 going at the half of that first Eagles-Kansas City showdown. But instead, it was, I believe it was 21-10 or 17-10. The Eagles were up going into the half. So if the Eagles can continue to do what they've been doing and play clean football, and Kansas City continues to do what they have done, which is go down at the half. And don't forget, last year, Pacheco had a fumble as well on his first possession. And the Eagles have been the best team at causing fumbles this season, especially after the bye and in the later half of the season and in the postseason. I think the Eagles capture a lead early. And I think in that second half, the way they have done being one of the best second half teams, run the ball, keep Patrick Mahomes on the sideline, limit his number of possessions, limit the time that he has with the ball, and pressure him and blanket everybody else. The Eagles have one of the best run defenses. Kansas City has a really good run defense, but they haven't seen Saquon. So, you know, I don't know how that really going to hold up. They haven't seen the best offensive line. Another thing to focus on, Brandon Graham may be playing in this game. He's been practicing again. He looks to be factoring in some capacity. And I think the thing that has been the least discussed as far as Kansas City offense is concerned, right now their left tackle was their left guard. They had such bad play at the left tackle throughout the season that, and I think they had one injury as well, that they had to constantly change who their left tackle was. And the person who has the job right now is Joe Tooney, who was their left guard. So Josh Sweat coming off that edge, if they mix it up and put Nolan Smith off that edge, if BG comes in and comes off that edge, I think that will be something to monitor throughout this game. Brett, go ahead.
Yeah, I've got I've got the Eagles big, and I don't know if it's the influence Joe has on me with this podcast. Saquon Barkley doesn't fumble the ball. He has two fumbles this entire season, including the postseason. He's only lost one of those. I believe that was against Jacksonville.
that wasn't a fumble, actually.
Yeah, the not fumble fumble.
Yeah.
But to all your points, I think Kelsey is not going to be able to get open. The linebacker play is too good. I wish N'Kobe Dean was playing in this game because I was dying on that hill. And then he actually was relatively healthy this season and was playing out of his mind, especially towards the end of the season, and then went out with another injury, which was kind of his stamp coming into the draft, which is why he fell. But yeah, you've already kind of mapped it out. I think the only thing that the Eagles would have to worry about is they're not incredibly fast on the back end. So Xavier Worthy could get loose, but I think the physicality is going to dictate that. I think Coop and Quinion are going to be just too strong for him to get out in the open.
The thing is, the Eagles play what's the word?
Too deep?
No. Not the specific coverage. The trademark of Vic Fangio defense is kind of like those old Bears defense, like bend, don't break. Like, we're never going to let you get anything beyond us.
Because to Joe's point, they do play a two deep mold. So it's basically like we'll rush four and then everyone else will drop in coverage because we're going to get to you with four. Vic Fangio doesn't really blitz that often. That's his whole thing, was we're going to have dudes who can get to you And he does. He's got the dudes. He's got Jalen Carter. He's got the guys on the edge. He's got the guys. He has Jordan Davis, who's a great run stopper, who can also play contain. Let's not forget, he ran like a 4.8 40 at the combine at 330 pounds. Like, he can play contain too. Patrick Mahomes is elusive, but he's not mobile. I don't think he's going to be able. I think he'll be able to escape sacks, but he will not be able to get outside the pocket and run. I have the Eagles big in this. Mainly, the two biggest variances from the last time they played is the running game, and nothing against Shady, but like the running game, or who was it? It wasn't Shady.
Shady wasn't there.
Yeah, it was
Miles Sanders.
Miles Sanders. Nothing against Miles Sanders. I took him in fantasy that year, but that was the year where, and Joe can attest to this, where the fans were like, why are we not running the ball more? We need to run the ball. And now they have a back paired with that offensive line that's one of the top five in the NFL, where they feel comfortable running the ball.
I was going to say, and I mean, that during the season, they ran the ball plenty. But that was something I wanted to touch on as well. The last time we played them, as you pointed out, we had Miles Sanders. And in the Super Bowl, guess who the leading rusher was for the Eagles?
Jalen Hurts.
It was Jalen Hurts. I believe it was 15 carries for 70 yards. Kenneth Gainwell and Miles Sanders each had 7 carries apiece. Gainwell had 21. Miles Sanders had 16. Hurts had 3 rushing touchdowns in that game, along with his 1 passing touchdown for over 300 yards.
But I don't think they're going to need to do that because Saquon has the ability.
No, he's not going to have to play pass yeah. as much.
He's not going to have to run as much either.
He's not going to have to run as much. But the thing was, he ended up having to pass that much because, like I said, 7 carries for 16 yards, 7 carries for 21 yards.
Yeah.
He had to take over that game in a way that people questioned, could he? And people are questioning, for some reason, after that, people are still questioning, can he?
Yeah.
But the gift of having a Saquon is we should not need you to. You can, but we know you have it in you if need be, but that should not be what it comes down to. The game should be far more balanced. Also, I'm going to say expect Dallas Goedert to have a big day.
Yeah, that's who I think is going to go off. Also, yeah, to your point, it's one of those, what is the old saying? I'd rather need it I'd rather not need it and have it than need it and not have it kind of a thing, yeah. Which is, I really think what's going to happen with Jalen. Yeah, so I've got Eagles big. I don't think it's a good this, matchup for Kansas City.
That's the main thing. I don't think this is a good a matchup for them. But the only way, I will say this as a caveat, the only way the Eagles win this is if they win big.
Yeah,
if it's a close
100%,
game,
yeah,
we can win, but it's a toss up. Like it, yeah. You know, it comes down to just. Whatever happens, it plays, flags, who knows what goes on. If the Eagles are going to win this like outright, it's going to be close going into the half and they explode after the half.
Mm-hmm. And I honestly, you mentioned Dallas Goedert. Another person I want to kind of keep my eye on is AJ. Mm-hmm. Because he's kind of gotten lost in these playoffs. And I know the media has made
had a great game last game.
He did. And the media has kind of made this big deal about how there's throughout the whole season, like, and there was certain times where, yeah, like Brandon Graham came out and said, you know, certain things about not, you know, the offensive play and all this kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, I really don't think, I think that's something we as like media members are making up to like yes. cause like, you know, clicks and ratings and stuff. I honestly think Jalen and AJ, it's, you know, been reported. You see him on the field. They love each other. And I don't think it's an issue.
The gift of social media, as far as being a fan of a team, is you get to see what the media will not talk about. Yeah. And after every game where people are like, oh, AJ is looking upset. It's like if you see like the clips. Because they always have somebody mic'd up. If you see the clips right after something happens and AJ's smiling and laughing and running around and joking with the guy who's mic'd up, like they just happen. Like I think after the first game where the game where he was reading the book.
Yeah.
I think that ended with Saquon doing the slide, I want to say. And it everybody's like, oh, the book. And then like the next day, the clip comes out. I think Smitty was mic'd up. And him and AJ run up to Saquon after Saquon's running off the field, like, bro, what are you doing? You got to run that all the way. I can never do that. Yeah, yeah. And it's like, yeah, he's obviously having a good time.
a lot of expletives in that clip.
Yeah, a lot of expletives. But it's like, he's having a good time, folks, joking, contrary to what you believe. So.
And it's also interesting, too, the whole thing where when there was outside tension on the team, it was, oh, he brought a book. He's reading a book. And then you come to find out it's like, no, he always has that book. He's been reading that book the whole time. But you guys didn't, expound on that until there was tension. Kansas City is, it's the empire. It's the Sith. It's the enemy for everyone who's not a fan of Kansas City. I'm not torn on this because I want Philly to win. But it is one of those things where I hear people talk about like, yeah, but when you're, 20 years from now, when you're bouncing your grandkids on your knee or whatever, you could be like, I was there for greatness. Like I saw Patrick Mahomes do it in the moment, which is a cool thing. But honestly, I don't think I'm going to do that. I saw Tom Brady do it and I don't mention that at all. I don't like Tom Brady. Miles Jack wasn't down. So, that's where I stand on the whole thing.
As far as the Kansas City of it all, I have no ill will towards Kansas City, honestly. I've said that numerous times.
Just only Travis
I respect
Kelce.
The hell out of Kansas City. I like Travis Kelce. Contrary
we are an anti-Travis Kelce podcast.
I can't be. Big fan of Andy, obviously.
Yeah, of course. We love Andy.
I like Patrick. I mean, I don't love some of the antics on the field, but that's pretty much every quarterback not named Hurts.
Or his wife and brother's politics.
Yeah, I mean, that's a different story altogether. But I have no, I don't hate the Chiefs. I probably should because they, beat us in the Super Bowl and everything. But I don't hate the Chiefs in that way. I respect them. If they win three in a row, the first time we'll ever see something like that, that's pretty dang impressive. That takes a lot of hard work, skill, determination. Like, you got to give it up for them if they accomplish that. But I don't think they will. I hope they don't. I'm going to be pissy and won't watch ESPN for like a week or two or three, maybe a month, if we lose the game. But I'm going into this with the utmost confidence and respect of opponent.
I agree with most of what you said. I think it's the thing that bothers me the most is the entitlement. And I brought this up last week. Patrick wasn't doing it in the AFC Championship game. Yeah. He wasn't throwing his hands up in the air asking for a call. He was running into defenders instead of sliding and like just taking hits. And I respect that aspect. The thing that bothers me is what you alluded to. It's when he like throws his hands up and looks at the ref. And I don't know.
But that's every my thing is that's every court. Like Tom Brady was the king of that.
No, that's true. But I guess
Peyton Manning was the king of that. Like Drew Brees did that. Philip Rivers did that. Eli Manning, they all do that.
I agree with you. I think
there's only like a handful of quarterbacks that don't do it and they just all happen to be black.
Josh Allen?
Josh Allen does it.
Josh Allen looks for the contact, baby.
I know, but on plays where he's standing in the pocket and then gets thrown down, he's looking with his hands up as well.
How?
I would say when he's running out and putting his head down, of course
when
not.
He's
but
Jaheim
when
Allen,
he's
not.
Yeah, but when he's standing there being quarterback, he does not. No. But Cam Newton didn't stay much.
I guess it's recency bias for me, too, because we've just seen it the last 3 years. But yeah, we'll move on.
He's the top dog. He is the person to hate. I will say that. But
yeah.
Don't get me wrong. It's not like I don't get why people hate Patrick Mahomes.
No, yeah.
But it's just I don't hate Patrick Mahomes.
It's very much like LeBron James, where he like throws his hands up and then looks at the ref, and you're like, "Come on, man, let's just play ball."
It's like you know better, but you're also trying to work the refs because in these environments, that is a part of the game. If you're at the fucking YMCA, like there's no ref to work. You're just gonna play through it. But in a position where there's refs and you have, that is an element of the game. You're going to work them to some degree.
100%.
Whether we like it or not, it is a part of the whole thing.
Speaking of.
All right.
Major NBA news to get to. I don't know if you guys heard. Speaking of LeBron James, Luka Doncic traded from the Dallas Mavericks to the Los Angeles Lakers. The Mavericks get back. Oh, excuse me. I was burping. The Mavericks get back Anthony Davis. They get the 2029 first round pick. And then who was the other one? Max Christie. That's why. I was crossing the names. Max Christie's actually been playing pretty well lately. The Lakers get a couple of contracts, and then Luka Doncic and a second round pick.
Luka. They got a second pick too. Also, the Jazz were in there. I don't remember what the Jazz got.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Oh, they got Jalen Hood-Schifino, and that's about it, I think.
Let's talk about this because for anyone listening, you've already heard all the takes. A lot of people were doing emergency pods and coming out and stuff like that. The Dallas Mavericks trade a top, what would you say, 3-5 NBA player, generational talent?
It's always interesting because I don't know. I'd say just top 10 just to be safe. But
okay. He has made five first-team All-NBAs in 5 years.
Yeah.
So he's good. He's good. We can agree on that.
As I was explaining to the lady, he's a once in a generation type of player. I can say that. But there's a couple of those in the league right now.
100%. And I found this very interesting because the same team that we all thought hoodwinked Atlanta, fleeced Atlanta,
That's a great point. I hadn't thought about that.
That's the first thing I thought of. I was like, wait, this was the team that everyone was like, they're geniuses for being able to pull this off. Now get rid of him. Joe, I'm going to give you my thoughts first, and then I want to hear what you have to say. I'm kind of torn on this. I'm going to zag. I'm not completely opposed to the trade.
Damn, why are we in the same place? I think we've lived with the trade for so much longer. Like,
yeah,
all of this shock and awe is kind of gone.
It's kind of worn off.
Yeah.
But I heard Russillo say, I don't care if he's smoking a cigarette, bringing the ball down the floor. You don't trade Luka Doncic. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we now have the benefit of hindsight. We see what Philly is going through with Joel Embiid, where you pay him the supermax and he can't stay on the court.
I can give you a better example.
Go ahead.
Zion Williamson.
1,000%. We see this all the time in the NBA where a player has flashes and shows the potential, and they are fantastic players, but they cannot get out of their own way. Do you know what Joel Embiid, Zion Williamson, and Luka Doncic all have in common? They come into the season out of shape, all of them. They don't take the offseason seriously, and the GM for Dallas was like that. He basically came out and said, that's not the culture we want to build, and we don't live with Luka. And I know fans in Dallas are mad, and I understand. I say all these things to preface, I still think it was a horrible trade because they did not shop Luka.
Yeah, I think that's the two things, the two lessons we can learn is both things can be true.
100%.
This trade shouldn't have happened. Like, even the whole shopping aspect, I think it was either Bomani or the Dan Le Batard show. They made or Amin Al-Hassan on the Dan Le Batard show made a great point where you don't shop him because if you shop him, there's more variables for leaks into the media and maybe that news gets out. And then if a trade doesn't go through, you now have to live with an angry superstar that knew you tried to shop him around.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why you kind of keep it hush hush just to a certain number of teams. But off the top, you don't make this trade. I don't care if he has 17 baby moms. He's smoking cigarettes on the sideline. He's drinking a six pack a night. Like, that guy got you to the NBA finals last year. Nobody thought that was where you guys were at the start of the season. That's a guy whose statue goes outside next to Dirk Nowitzki. His jersey goes into the rafters. Like,
That broke my heart. Seeing the fans outside the stadium, like in a protest, being like, he was supposed to be next to Dirk.
Yeah, he's ours. Like, I'm sorry, like he's ours. Like, it, like if you're writing the movie version of all of this, like the start of this movie is poetic, where he gets drafted in Dirk's final season, and he sees the love and adoration Dirk gets on his farewell tour, and that's his first year. And the movie's supposed to end with Dirk at 60 coming to see Luka's jersey get hanged to the rafter, and that's not how it's going to go. So for the fan base, I can feel, I can understand how that is. Yeah. But at the end of the day, it's the NBA, man. Shit happens. Like, I was a Nuggets fan because of Carmelo Anthony, and he asked for a trade, and he left. And it was like, all right, so now what do I do? Like, if you're a fan of the team, you're a fan of the team. Players will come and go. It's what I tell you, what I told you about, like, Fulham.
Yeah,
like,
with Fulham, yeah.
You're a fan of the team. Players will come and go. You have to trust
fan of the kit,
ownership. And, I mean, it's also fair to disagree with ownership and call out ownership. But, you know, cooler heads will prevail, and you don't have to run away unless you want to run away. I can understand a trade like this breaking your fandom. So I won't even try to do that. But as far as the out, what's the word? Damn. The fallout of the trade.
Yeah.
I think Dallas has a really good team now.
Yeah.
I think Dallas has a really good team. I think Dallas has something that a lot of teams would want. Dallas kind of looks like last year's Minnesota Timberwolves now.
Mm-hmm.
But better?
Yeah, and I think Kyrie has done a great been a great example the last 2 years of, like, I'm just going to shut up and play basketball. Like, I don't want to do,
like,
this.
Like, I'm going to kill all the outside noise. Like, I'm just coming to
fantastic.
Hoop. Yeah. And quiet as kept, I don't know if anybody's been paying attention. I don't think Luka's played since Christmas Day when he got hurt.
So, yeah, that was the big thing, is it's a calf, which we all know after Kevin Durant can lead to an Achilles. And this guy is not, Luka's not,
not
in Kevin
condition
Durant
great.
No.
So Luka hasn't played in that long, and the Mavs have still been hanging around the postseason window, the, you know, the 10 teams. So bringing in AD,
right now.
Bringing in AD, now you have the, you instantly get better just in terms of, like you said, you have somebody who's not only willing to play defense, but somebody who plays defense at a defensive player of the year, all team defense caliber. So that changes everything. So now at the five with Lively and Gafford, and I believe one of them is hurt right now. But Gafford. At the five, you have guys who are willing to play defense. And now at the four, you have a guy who's willing to play defense. At the three and the two, and now you have Kyrie, who we've seen play championship defense before when he was with the Cavs. I don't know if he still has that in him. He's like 10 years removed now, crazy to say. But he, and now the other thing is you lose the redundancy in that offense, because it was everything Kyrie can do, Luka does as well. And also Luka's there. He limits what Kyrie can do, because you're taking the ball out of the hands of one of the best ball handlers to grace the NBA. Yep. So now you free Kyrie to kind of do what he can do wizardry-wise on the basketball court with a superstar being there, because he's doing it right now without Luka being there, obviously, because of the injury. But now when AD comes back from his injury, funny enough, these both guys were injured. When AD comes back from his injury, it gives him more room to operate and maneuver. The one downside is Luka was obviously improving on his three-point shot. AD, I believe, since the bubble, is like a 25% three-point shooter. Like, he went crazy in the bubble and has been pretty mediocre, below mediocre afterwards.
My biggest problem. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, I think Dallas has a legitimate shot this year that I don't think the Lakers have. We can get to the Lakers part of it after you go.
Yeah, I just, the thing that kind of bothers me about this is, like, like we said, you don't trade this kind of a player. But a couple of things. I've heard more and more things coming out, and it makes sense why they didn't shop him, because there's only three or four people in the league. What are they going to do? Call Minnesota and ask for Ant, or call Milwaukee and ask for Giannis? Like,
well, apparently there was another team that was called. The identity has not been revealed, but a lot of people just adding up the money and speculating believe it was the Bucks, and the Bucks were like, no. And we don't want that to come out.
That would make sense too, because that's what they were looking for, was a big defensive presence.
Yeah, exactly.
But like, that's the thing is like, but it's just the haul was so little. Like, AD is 31, Luka's 25.
Yeah.
Like, and also,
I was gonna say, I saw that. Speaking of the haul, there's apparently I forgot where somebody tweeted it. They were like, apparently the original details of the trade had a bunch of first round picks and pick swaps, and then Rob Pelinka kind of took Nico Harrison's lunch and was like, I don't know, man, we got conditioning questions and all this.
Yeah.
And then he was able to get some of those things off. Yeah. So it's like, dang,
you got played, bro. Rob Pelinka's gonna win executive of the year. That's insane.
If they really pan out, it's either him or what's his name? Sam Presti, who's just...
Yeah. You know. I do want to say this
Cavs, one. Honestly.
I want to say this one thing, because even if the Mavs win a title this year, which I don't think they will, but even if they did, Nico Harrison is still going to be wrong, because what's going to happen is, and this I just purely from like...
This is where me and you always disagree.
The standpoint of... Luka's gonna be the reason why I think this is gonna be wrong is because now that Luka got traded, he's gonna be so angry and competitive, and he's gonna get into shape. And
we're all
I just
putting
think,
that on him.
I know, but
the reason
I've been in breakups before
issue,
where this happens, where the person turns around and you're like, "What the fuck? Where was
I
this
get
person?"
It. But I love that everybody's putting, because I've jokingly said that. I've said it with one caveat. I love how everyone's been saying that, though. So the one caveat I'm giving it is, I think the Lakers did not make this move to potentially try to win anything this year. Yeah, I think this is a pass the torch move.
So they kept that 31 pick, yeah.
I think this is a pass the torch move, because you get Luka in the building so he can see LeBron and see what a pro looks like. Getting ready, getting his body ready, doing treatment, doing conditioning, doing all those things, so then he may absorb some of that. But this notion that Luka's gonna get traded and now he's pissed off and he's gonna, if that's what it takes, and not losing the finals,
then you're better off without.
I was about to say, what's your motor, man? Like, what the fuck are we talking about?
No, I agree. I did think it was funny that LeBron said he had no idea about this trade, because him and AD are close, and obviously
I don't think LeBron had anything to do.
What?
I don't think so. I think
LeBron had everything to do with this.
I think people, there's this weird. So there's no other agent in Megastar that we ascribe this level of overreach to other than LeBron. And I think it's very racially tinged. I think people believe, Rich Paul's in this position because of LeBron. Therefore, he's not really good at his job. He's only in this position because of LeBron. So he has to run everything by LeBron. Where LeBron had an original agent, basically helped Rich Paul get like internships and go to school to become his own man, start his own agency. And then LeBron went and signed with his agency. And Rich Paul has just made great deal after great deal after great deal, separate from LeBron entirely. So
no, I disagree.
So with the machination of how this deal went down, it sounds like it was flushed out. Then they told Rich Paul. And I don't think LeBron learned on the internet. I think Rich Paul told LeBron, but I don't think LeBron helped orchestrate this or was in on it from the beginning.
The reason I disagree is it has nothing to do with Rich Paul. It has everything to do with LeBron because he signs these one-on-one contracts so he can hold power over the franchises.
Yes.
Rich Paul never even crossed my mind about this.
Sorry. That was more of a soliloquy from Dan Le Batard. No, that's what he did.
I completely understand your point, but what I'm saying is LeBron signs one-on-one so he can force the team to do his bidding. So what I think was, he ultimately has power because of his one-on-ones.
But do you have power if we basically make you replaceable? Because that's what this trade does.
Yeah, training your
replacement. We need to run hiring your successor by you? Because the only reason we're doing this is because you're over the hill.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Like, why am I going to run this by you? This is for when you're gone. I need this in place for when you're gone. Like, I think Bomani said it best. He was like, this is the first time a team has had LeBron and not said, we're just going to ride LeBron until the wheels fall off. And hopefully he's going to love being here and he's just going to want to stay. And we're just going to ride off into the sunset. The Lakers were like, yeah, what's next?
Yeah.
Not like the Cavs where they then were holding their, you know what, or like the Heat where they're stuck after LeBron leaves. Like, the Lakers were like, we're the Lakers. There's an epilogue.
That's the craziest part about that is the fact that I was one of the people who subscribed to this whole idea of, well, LeBron's getting older. What are you going to run your team through AD? Like, this is going to be a rough couple of years when LeBron leaves. And then this happens. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Well, I had no issue running the team through AD. The problem with AD, though, is, and, you know, we'll see how Dallas looks, but AD never took the mantle. He's a very great player. He's a top 75 player, but he does not have that killer mentality that you need to be a true one, especially in LA.
I completely agree. And also, he's injury prone. Last year was the first year that he had played 70 games, I think, in his entire career.
Yeah.
So, there was other trades too. De'Aaron Fox goes to San Antonio.
Hold on. What happens to the Lakers this season? What do you think? Because people.
No, I agree with you. I think they've gone crazy. I agree with you in the sense that they didn't do it for this season. I think they'll be okay, maybe above the play-in, but I don't think Luka comes in and it's like, oh my God, here we go. I think they're gearing up for next year.
Yeah, I think it's going to look real bad.
Plus, they have no size now, like no size.
I would say exactly. They have zero bigs. You're basically asking LeBron to play the four. You're also asking LeBron to be less ball dominant at his age. He is probably best at being the ball dominant because he's one of the best decision makers. But you brought in probably the third or fourth best decision maker in the NBA outside of LeBron, Jokic, and somebody else. Chris Paul probably. And like you said, they have no size, but mainly they have no defense now.
That's what I was just about to bring up. I was waiting with bated breath for you to stop talking.
You have a 40-year-old man.
Austin Reeves, a 40-year-old dude, and then
Luka. And Luka Doncic. You have no defense. So, yeah, people are fooling themselves into, oh, no, they'll figure it out.
Unless they kept that 31 first-round pick to go out and get some size, but I don't think.
People are saying, they're going to flip Austin Reeves, and I'm like, for what? You're going to flip Austin Reeves for a guy who Jokic is going to move through? Like, again, let's remember, Anthony Davis is one of the top 3-4 defenders in the NBA right now. And Jokic and the Nuggets beat them 4-1. And Jokic had a 50-point game, I want to say, and a couple 40-point games on one of the top 4 defenders. So if you're going to trade Austin Reeves for Nick Claxton out of Brooklyn, that's not going to help you. And then what I also been telling people is, and you don't have to just worry about Jokic. If you play Dallas, they have the guy who you just got rid of. Like, he's going to put up numbers.
I want to ask you if, because the only, there's only one hypothetical in our lives, you and I's lives, that this could actually relate to. Because I want to get your perspective just real quick from the Dallas fan point. If the Mavericks win a title, because you and I disagree on this all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think that cleans up this worth mess?
It. 1,000%
Okay. Yeah. Because, yeah, absolutely.
We're all about winning championships. The goal at the end of the day is win championships. I'm thinking,
And that's kind of what messes me up is I have that Madden franchise mentality where I'm like, yeah, even if we win, what are we going to do next year? But it's like, yeah, that doesn't matter if you win.
I can ride that win for at least 4 years. Like, if I'm Nico Collins, what's his name? Like, I forgot it. Now.
Nico Harrison.
Harrison. I can ride that win for another contract at the very least. Like, if they don't make it out of the first round this year, if AD has injury issues, he's fired right at the end of the season. If they make it to the Western Conference Finals and potentially the NBA Finals, that guy is now looked at like a genius.
Yeah. All right. I agree. I
saw the writing on the wall. He's like you said, he's here every day, and no one, the coach, no one was like, don't do it. What does that say about him?
1,000% What and now does all these that? Clips are coming out on social media of him like taking a beer out of Luca's hand.
Yeah,
like,
I was saying that happened Luca after the Western Conference Finals. That went viral at the time as well. But yeah,
I'm seeing all this stuff now.
I mean, that speaks volumes to he had the go ahead to do this.
Yeah,
ownership did not stop it. Yeah. The coach did the press conference with him and kind of echoed what he was saying as far as the culture and everything was like, concerned.
Yeah, I'm cool with it.
So that lets you know what, you know.
Yeah.
And I have an interesting theory. I was telling Ariel, I was like, the problem is Luca. Man, that's so funny. I was just asking my buddies who does Neymar's career feel like? And I was like, I want to say Kyrie, but it's not a great one-to-one. In some ways it is, some way it isn't. But Neymar and Luka could have similar career paths. In outside of the fact that Neymar was able to win some championships due to playing with Lionel Messi, but the fact that they were both prodigies, they got in just because of their sheer will of their talent. They got in the game, in the professional game, earlier than most. But because of that, and because of just their talent, they didn't really have to work that hard. Yeah. And they kind of coasted. And I think Luka's always been like, why would I work harder if this got me to an NBA final? Like, yeah. I can just do this. Yeah, like, I can just keep doing this. And I'm going to win eventually. So it's going to be very interesting to see where the rest of his career goes. The NBA, man, the greatest soap opera there is.
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to touch on De'Aaron Fox.
Foxy.
Because now with Chris Paul playing, you know, 20, 25 minutes a game, and now with Victor Wembanyama bringing in a player like De'Aaron Fox, do you think the Spurs, maybe not this year, but next year, do you think the Spurs can make some noise?
Yeah, this is a future situation as well. You bring in Fox, you have him study at the knee of Chris Paul, who right now he's one for one as far as understudies and the explosion of their ascension of their career.
Shea Gilgeous Alexander.
Yeah, SGA. I was going to say, it's funny. He keeps becoming the steward to these younger guys. And the younger guys are like, it's like he's giving them the wisdom. And he's like, when he walks away, he's like, if only I was 6'5", 6'3". Yeah, exactly. He was like, I see what he's doing. That's what I was supposed to do if I got a couple more inches. But I was able to do what I was able to do at 6 feet. But yeah, so it looks different when a guy at that size is doing it. But no, De'Aaron's going to go. And De'Aaron, I mean, is already a really, really good player in his own right. But he's going to go there. He's going to soak up some game from CP. And then him and Wemby have the next 10 years to just ruin fandom across the league.
They're going to make a lot of noise.
Zach
LaVine, he's going to Sacramento, if I'm not mistaken.
Zach LaVine's going to Sacramento. I feel bad. The interesting thing he's been playing well. The interesting thing with that is I think things going to look pretty good in Sacramento. I'm not going to lie. The thing that I haven't listened to all the shows today, and plus a lot of the shows were stuck on Luka and everybody. But this is a repairing of Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah.
They were just together in Chicago. The problem with their three was Vucevic wasn't that good, and then Lonzo Ball kept getting injured. So now they're doing it again, but now with Sabonis and a bunch of other good young talent, as well with Malik Monk, one of the Murray kids. So that's going to be interesting to see. I think they got better in all this just because. Actually, I don't know if they got better. Now I'm thinking about it. I think they may have plateaued. They may have net neutral.
Well, Zach LaVine has been. This isn't the same Zach LaVine from last year and the year before. He's been playing a lot better. So
Zach LaVine the last couple of years have been playing really well. But I'm just saying, like, I was thinking they only got Zach LaVine, though. That's it. It's like you got Zach LaVine, you got De'Aaron, got rid of De'Aaron Fox. Kind of like the same player in a way.
Yeah, but
I guess the biggest difference is Zach knows how to play with DeMar, whereas De'Aaron was learning how to play with DeMar.
Yeah, I think they're going to reset. I don't think they're going to be any sort of contenders, but I do think they'll make the playoffs, and I think they'll be above. I think they'll be right around that play-in spot. So, all right, quick hit it.
All right, let's do it.
And you'll be surprised how quick.
Quick! Name it hits.
Quick hit.
All right, we're going to get to the quick hit. Speaking of trades in professional basketball, Joe, you have some WNBA trades. Alyssa, my girl, is out.
Alyssa, your girl? Who's Alyssa?
Wasn't she the one who got traded?
Who's Alyssa?
I had her on my fantasy team last year.
Alyssa. Oh, yes. Was that a trade? So the problem is there's a lot of trades. There's a lot of free agency things happening. A lot is going on.
I thought it was a trade.
It might have been a trade. Let me hold on.
I can't remember her last name.
Let me just go through this. Alyssa Thomas. She's now on Phoenix, but let me go through all the transactions in my head real quick. The Aces got Brittany Griner. The Dream got Brittany Griner. So Brittany Griner coming to the A. What up? Tina Charles is going back to the Sun. So that's not there. Alyssa Thomas. Where the heck is... Why is her thing not open here? Dawana Bonner going to the Fever. She signed a one-year deal to go to the Fever. Okay, let me get the tracker. Pull up the tracker. I was like, man, I ain't got a transaction tab. That's good. So yes, it was a four-team trade. You are correct. Phoenix, Indiana, Dallas, and Connecticut all worked on this. Oh my gosh, this was a part of the Satu trade. So Alyssa Thomas and Satu Sabli go to Phoenix. Sophia Cunningham goes to Indiana. Dejanay Carrington and Alyssa Smith and Ty Harris all go to Dallas. Dang, that's crazy.
Kalina Brown, I don't know if you mentioned
that. Kalina Brown goes to Phoenix. There's even more details on it. Jeez. The picks are being swapped. There's a lot.
Cunningham's going to the Fever.
Stacey Sheldon's going to the Sun. Oh, that's right. Natasha Cloud and Rebecca Allen got sent to the Sun as well. Man, that was a freaking big trade.
Kelsey Plum, Jewel Lloyd, and are also on the move.
Breonna Jones is leaving the Sun. I know she went to Atlanta as well. So Atlanta's going to have a nice big lineup as well. Odyssey Sims went to the Sparks. Malika Awanyere going to the Sky. Oh, she resigned with the Sky. I think that covers everything. I did not realize that one trade was a four-team trade with all those names.
Yeah, it says it's a historic transaction.
That's crazy.
Record-breaking four-team trade.
Yeah, that it was. I would say the thing is, it came across the wire in like different parts. Because like at first it was like, oh, Alyssa Thomas is getting traded to the Fever. It's like, oh, snap. Then like 2 hours later, it's like, oh, Satu's going to the going to Phoenix as well. And it's like, wait, what? And then it's like, oh, Natasha Cloud's leaving there. And it's like, okay, which trade is that part of? And now I'm just now looking at the totality. And it's like, oh, it's all the same trade. It just kept coming out in different, like drip by drip by drip, like as the details got discovered. So, that's crazy. But yeah, massive, massive trade. As
huge trade, a lot of movement.
Gonna mess up my head when it comes to fantasy. All right. Next NFL offseason.
You hit the sounder?
I already hit one more round. We don't trade.
I
just move. Haven't done one more round.
No, it's quick hits. It's quick hits. It's always been for Joe. So let's talk about the NFL offseason. A couple of things happened. Joe brought it to my attention before we started recording. Cooper Kupp had a very
LA.
Yeah, I'm out of here. Kind of thank you so much for everything tweet.
And now it's on ESPN. Rams seeking to trade highly motivated Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, so I'm sure he sat down with Sean McVay and they were kind of like, all right, we got to get out of here.
Okay, so the whole Twitter post is, I was informed that the team will be seeking a trade immediately and will be working with me and my family to find the right place to continue competing for championships. I don't agree with the decision and always believe it was going to begin and end in L.A. Still, if... oh my gosh, it's long. Still, if there's one thing that I have learned over the years, there are so many things that are out of your control, but it is how you respond to these things that you will look back on and remember. I have taken all right, he's leaving.
Cooper Kupp coming to Jacksonville. Love to see it.
I think somebody made the joke some that going. He would go to the Texans.
Oh, really?
Somebody made the joke on Twitter, on Sky, actually.
So Cooper Kupp is out. This was something I found hilarious, and I even texted Joe when I was at the gym when I saw it, because a couple weeks ago, the GM for the Cleveland Browns came out and said, under no circumstance would we ever seek a trade, look for a trade, or even think about trading Myles Garrett. He's a cornerstone to the Browns franchise. And then fast forward 3 weeks, Myles Garrett has requested a trade.
Yeah,
Myles Garrett went to ownership and the GM and was like, hey, guys, I don't want to stay here anymore. Hold my beer. I'm out of here. So Myles Garrett is on the move, which is crazy because he plays a premium position. He's one of the best in the NFL to do it. I just don't know if any team that he would want to go to has the pieces to get him.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing. He's going to go to
a contender. But he doesn't have a no trade clause, so they could send him anywhere. But it's just, what do you give up?
Yeah, I was thinking that because, when my mind first went, I was like, so how does Howie pull this off?
you don't have enough picks.
But I was like, I don't want to lose any of the guys, so I don't want to lose players for it. And I was like, capital. I mean, but I don't know how much. I think we've exhausted all the draft capital that we fleeced from, like, the Saints and other teams. So,
well, and also even your capital, just the Philly capital. Cause I was thinking about this too. Cause I was like, oh, that'd be cool if he played for the Jags, but it's like, we would have to give up Josh Hines Allen. And it's
that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't want to give up of that caliber.
So we might be able to get him with the fifth pick in this year's draft, but I don't know. I don't want to do that because it's like, we don't need to keep adding pass rushers, even though Myles Garrett is great. It's like, I need an offensive lineman so bad.
Yeah, you guys need 30 offensive linemen. Just rotate them in and out.
So it'll be interesting to see where he goes. Maybe Minnesota. That was kind of my thing, because I know Brian Flores loves to do the exotic stuff with his defense, and he would eat in that kind of a defense. But also, you've got, you know, teams that have a lot that they could get.
You know where
of.
He's probably going to go where will really Chicago? Piss me off? No.
Oh, piss you off? Dallas?
No. Because Dallas doesn't have the capital either.
The Giants?
No.
And Brian Burns would be insane. Oh, commies. Yeah.
I was about to say, because they have the most cap going into this offseason. So if they just say, we'll just eat the entire contract and give you a ton of picks, like.
Yeah, two firsts and a second or something.
I can see them being like, yeah, why not?
Yeah. So we'll see.
I'm trying to think who else could actually.
Yeah, me too. I'm racking my brain right now while I'm trying to host. And more somber. Well, I'll get to this one first. Jags hired Tony Vaselli, our potential Hall of Fame left tackle, as the
vice president. No, he got in. He got in.
Oh, he did? Yeah,
he got in like a year or two ago.
It was a big point of contention around Jacksonville, and I haven't been there in 3 years, so I guess I haven't been totally up to date. But the Hall of Fame left tackle, who was the very first draft pick of the Jaguars franchise in 1995, is now the vice president of football operations. The only reason I bring this up, the Liam Cohen stuff aside, the coaching stuff aside, I have been complaining publicly on this podcast for, 4 years now, and even before, 5 years now? God, we started this in 2020. Yeah. Publicly on this podcast, even before that. Who?
Balky been there the whole time? I don't think he was there the whole time.
He got hired. He was there for Urban Meyer, so yeah.
He was there for Urban Meyer.
Yeah. So I will just say, how long has John Lynch been in San Francisco? Because when John Lynch took over San Francisco is when we got Balky.
No, I think there was like a in between gap. Time. There was like a he did like 1 year out before I think he got to.
I will just say I have been bitching and moaning about our offensive line for years. It's well documented on this show. And now we finally have, and I put this in group chats. I put this in like people who are posting on Facebook because my friends are old. I was like, we finally have someone whose sole purpose was protecting the quarterback is now in a power position.
And understands the importance of protecting
the quarterback. I am so excited for what this means with the fifth pick in the draft. I'm so excited that he's there. That's all I wanted to bring up. Shout out to Tony Vaselli.
I was saying he's the G. He's the what's the position?
The assistant vice, or excuse me, he is the vice president of football operations.
Okay.
So not the top.
So
down,
not the GM.
Pretty close
so,
to
so
it.
So you still don't have a GM.
No, we still don't have a GM. But
I figured what would be the funniest of trades.
What?
For Myles Garrett. Myles Garrett for Cooper Kupp.
I was going to say that, but I was like, absolutely not.
Well, I was giving Cooper Kupp. You're about to draft a quarterback like for Cleveland.
Three or four, yeah. Cooper Kupp's going to get like a third or a fourth rounder. Myles Garrett's going to get two firsts and a second. Myles Garrett is going to get Jalen, God, I can't believe, Jalen Ramsey kind of trade stuff.
Okay, I mean, I'm just saying. And who did that last time? The Rams.
That's true. That is true. They finally are back to having first round
draft picks
again.
Maybe again.
Yeah. Two firsts and a second.
Send Cooper in some picks, get a couple mid round picks because they hit on those all the time. So, boom.
Yeah.
Give Cam
remember
Ward.
At the start of the season when we were like, they have like all rookies on their defense and they ended up being so good.
And I still picked them to make the playoffs.
I know.
Or be really good. I don't know if I had them in the playoffs.
We got to get to the somber news.
Yeah, somber. I don't know if somber is the right word. The disappointing
somber,
news.
Yeah, for the victims.
Somber, yes.
Justin Tucker, it has now come out that he has several civil cases pending against him. I don't know if they're seeking criminal charges for sexual misconduct, again, with massage therapists. I believe it's four, last time I checked.
It was, I believe it was originally six, and then I think either three or four got tacked on to it.
Oh, okay. So
bring
we're
it to either
digits.
9 or 10.
We're almost to double digits, if not in double digits. He's been banned from, it's come out now that apparently he was banned from a few massage parlors in the Baltimore area. Justin Tucker, the Hall of Fame kicker for the Baltimore Ravens, a story broke that, this is happening. He's apparently a terrible person, and none of us knew it. I do want to say I heard from some different shows and stuff that apparently they told him, they informed him that they were writing this story at the beginning, if not the beginning of last year, towards the middle of last year, like before the season started, which a lot of people are now speculating as to why he had the worst season of his entire career. But yeah, it's just, you know, these people exist, you know, these people are out there, but when these, especially athletes, are propped up as, you know, role models and heroes and stuff like that. It's one thing when Charles Barkley goes, I'm not a role model, and he's kind of a dick to people. It's another thing when you're using your position of power to literally assault people. So,
yeah. And all so far, all we know of the incidents were, as far as like when they happened, was between 2012 and 2016. Apparently, I think it was 2015, either late 2015, or early 2016. He gets married. He does it a couple more times. And that's when he starts getting banned from a couple places. And that's kind of where it ends. You would hope, hopefully, that's kind of where it ends. Not to say that, you know, a gross abuse of power and just bad humanity. Like,
yeah,
it's pretty ridiculous. But yeah, I was gonna say there's a entitlement portion of this, and also just an immaturity portion of this, because I think this is when 2012 is when he got drafted, so his first 4 years in Baltimore. And what could be interesting following the story is, if he was doing this there, what was he doing in Austin, Texas when he was at Texas? Like, is this something that, you know, he started there and then brought that kind of behavior until he finally got banned and told, don't come to these places? But yeah, as I always say, I root for, I'll say I like a player until they give me reason to otherwise. And I was a fan of Justin Tucker, and I no longer am. I think he's a piece of shit. That's to put it lightly. Yeah, man, like, you have a lot of money and disposable income. Like, just get, as I texted Brendan, like, just get a sex worker, man. Like, leave regular everyday people out of this. Like, there's places you definitely, with your celebrity, you can, you know, get people who are more comfortable or more inclined to do this.
Yeah,
like, and I'm not saying people who are being sex trafficked or anything, but there's like high end escorts that, like, you know, have complete agency over everything they're doing. Like, you know, you don't have to try to ruin somebody's life just to get your rocks off.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree. The Harrison Butker commencement speech isn't looking so bad now, huh?
No, that's still pretty shit. Kickers, man. Kickers, really.
I wanted to make a joke. Kickers are weird.
Kickers are odd. Yeah, some quarterbacks are odd, too. Especially that guy in Cleveland. Did we ever talk about him rupturing his Achilles again?
Yeah. It's good for, and I said this before, but I'll say it again, it's good for the Browns because they have an insurance policy. So if he can't play because he's injured, they get that cap money back.
Ooh.
So they'll still pay him the $50 million, but then it doesn't go against their cap. But who cares? He's a piece of shit too. Let's move on to the everyone's. Oh, well, hang on. We got the NHL.
No.
Quick.
The Florida Panthers have taken over the Catlantic. On a 3-game win streak. I believe we beat the, was it the Islanders or was the Rangers 6-3 yesterday? Islanders beat the Islanders 6-3, beat the Blackhawks 5-1, beat the LA Kings 3-0. That is all since we talked at you last. So right now they've played more games than the Toronto Maple Leafs, making us 3 points ahead of them in the standings as of right now. So in the Catlantic, you got the Panthers, the Leafs, and the Senators. In the Metro, you got the Caps, who are on a 2-game losing streak, but still have the most points in the East only. The Carolina Hurricanes and the New Jersey Devils. In the wild card position, you have the Red Wings, who are on a 6-game heater right now, winning 7 of their last 10. And you got the Blue Jackets second. The Lightning are on the outside looking
falling
in, but
like a
they're
rock.
Only really 1 point out of that second spot, and they have 2 games in hand. Versus, not versus, but they have 2 extra games to be played that Columbus has already played. In the Western Conference, you have in the Central, you have the Winnipeg Jets, who are the point leader in all of the NHL with 77. The Dallas Stars, who has 69. And the Minnesota Wild, who have 66. The Jets and the Star both riding a 6 and a 5 game win streak, respectively. Edmonton at the top of the Pacific on a 2-game losing streak. The Knights on a 3-game losing streak. Then the LA Kings on a 1-game winning streak. Colorado Avalanche on a 2-game winning streak are the first in the wild card position. And then the Calgary Flames are second. They are 2 points ahead of the Vancouver Canucks. But they have played equal numbers of games, so that makes it a little interesting there.
All right. Now, while Joe gets the sound ready, it's time for everyone's favorite part of the podcast, the Fulham Corner. Joe, what happened in the world of Premier League soccer this week?
Brennan, a great game happened. So Fulham played this past weekend. We played against Newcastle United. Funny enough, folks, a top 6 side. I believe Newcastle currently sitting at number 5 in the table. Yeah, no, 6 in the table. They might have been 5 before that game, and then they lost, didn't get points. Man City won. No, Man City lost as well, so they were already 6. Anyways, playing Newcastle United. Newcastle was able to score in the first half. But in that first half, Fulham had been playing better, but just not executing on chances. They were putting the pressure on them, but Newcastle just worked a really, really, really good goal along their left, our right. I think, what was the dude's name? Gordon. It was just on a tear. Anthony Gordon was on a tear. Was able to get a pretty good pass over to Jacob Murphy, and he was able to flush it home. Caught everybody out of position. That was the first half. In the second half, though, Fulham with the pedal to the metal, continuing the play that they had in the first half, and now with a little more urgency. Raul Jimenez was able to break free. I think Anthony Robinson set him up, and Raul was able to put one in the back of the net, which was fantastic. Late subs coming on. You had Rodrigo Muniz. You had Andrea Pereira. And they got on late. Andreas got fouled in the really dangerous position, deep in the attacking third on the left hash, just outside the penalty area, though. He swings one in. Raul Jimenez makes a move, tips it in with his right leg just over the keeper. That gives us 2-1 lead. Hold on for the rest of the game, and we take the dub at St. James Park. I believe first win at St. James since 2009. So pretty fantastic, pretty good stuff there. So yeah, riding that win there, that's pretty good.
Top 10 on the table now, baby.
Back to top 10. I believe we're sitting at number 9 right now. Our next game, I want to say, is a FA Cup game, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Against Wigan Athletic. Thank goodness we're back to Saturday games.
Yes. This was weird when I was getting the ESPN update that's like Fulham starting. And I'm like, wait, yeah. What?
The worst was last week. Last week's game was Sunday at 2. And I'm like, the Eagles play at 3. What are we doing, guys? I was like, you are killing me right now. But yeah, 10 o'clock start next week, 10 o'clock start the week after, and the week after. Then we got a Tuesday game. We should beat Wigan, so I'm not even going to talk about March because another FA Cup game is probably going to be slotted in there. So really good form right now. Also, a bit of a transfer news. Willian, who was on the club last year, last 2 seasons, There's talks that he and the team have accepted a new deal, and he's coming back as a free transfer in the transfer window right now. And primarily because Harry Wilson suffered an injury, an ankle injury, in our last game against Leicester, where he's going to miss 8 to 10 weeks. In the game against Man United. Damn it, man. Where he's going to miss 8 to 10 weeks. So to get some wing depth, they're going to go and bring Willian back. So that's pretty interesting. I wonder how that's going to play out. He knows, you know, the club. He knows the style that Marco wants to play in and everything. So he'll slot right in, but another year. We didn't know how good he was going to be last year, and he ended up being really good. But another year later, you know, how well is he going to play at 34, 35 years of age, more of an advanced age? But yeah, that's some late breaking news that I got earlier today. I don't even think the club's actually officially announced it, but you know,
beautiful.
I got sources.
You got sources. We got sources inside. All right, let's get out of here.
And we'll bring you the press conference in its entirety.
Joe, where can everybody find you, my man?
You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Blue Sky at Joe Dorville. Twitter, Instagram, and Blue Sky at Joe Dorville. Don't forget to check out this show, Twitter, Instagram, and Blue Sky at Kearing Press, at Kearing Press. Also, check out the other shows on the network. That is Who Does a Podcast. That is A New Low. Good stuff we're doing on all those platforms. And don't forget to check out my music under the moniker Headphone Joe, no Ono Ian the Phone, all DSPs, your titles, your Spotify's, your Apples. Also, don't forget to check out headphonejoe.etsy.com. Headphone Joe spelled the same way as the moniker that I alluded to that I have been getting right this entire time. But yeah, that's where you can buy my wares, all the merch and the wares. So Brennan, can we find you, buddy?
At Brennan T. Comedy on all social media, BrennanTComedy.com. I've got dates coming up in Boston, Connecticut, Florida, and Los Angeles. So
Los Angeles.
Check out my website for all those dates that are coming up. And check out my other podcast, X Drinking Buddy. I have changed the show name. It is now Your X Drinking Buddy. There is no more Brennan Tassif is Your X Drinking Buddy. It's just Your X Drinking Buddy. Change the cover art to the merch that I always wear. That is going to be the new logo for the show moving forward. It's updated on all platforms where you get podcasts except iTunes. iTunes doesn't want to update it yet, which is awesome.
Yeah, iTunes is really bad at that, actually. I know this.
So check out, again, my podcast, Your Ex Drinking Buddy. I have a guest on every week to talk about their best and worst drinking, drug, party, and getting in trouble stories. This week, Kellen Breen, who's famous for a meme nobody actually knows his name from, which was interesting. We talk about how the NFL memes account and stuff has been using it, but he's not getting any credit for it, which is crazy. He got a shout out. Andrew Santino had Pete Holmes on his podcast and got a shout out, but they didn't actually like talk about him. They just talked about the sketch. So we dive into all that plus a few drinking stories. So that was a lot of fun. That's it.
One thing I want to say before I wrap it up, Brandon, I don't know if you noticed, but the beard is getting long. I got the neck hair and everything. I meant to allude to it last week, but I forgot to. But going full superstitions, like, not washing the clothes I've worn the last two games. They're just sitting in the corner waiting for the Super Bowl. Not shaving. The lady was supposed to do the hair, but she looked at me and she was like, "But," and I was like, "You right though." So she's fully bought in on the superstitions. So
here we go. Sports is a crazy thing.
We're all locking in. We're all locking in. But all right,
let's go Birds. Go Birds.
Get me out of here, Brennan.
And that's why we play the game.
Hello.
Hello. I already alluded to it. Huge shout out, Tony Baselli. Let's get this team right, baby.
Let's go Birds.
Go Birds.